in Israel is the Holocaust Museum that is called Yad Vashem. Yad Vashem. This is the Hebrew for a place and a name, or we might call it a memorial. And these words, Yad Vashem, are taken from Isaiah chapter 56 at verse 5. I will give in my house and within my wall a monument and a name. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. In this verse from Isaiah, the Lord is speaking to the people of Israel who are in exile. They are in Babylon. They are hundreds of kilometers away from Jerusalem. The temple has been destroyed, and they are indeed in a place where they could be lost and their name forgotten. But God promises here that this will not happen, that they will not only be remembered, but if you look at this part of Isaiah in its entirety, the Lord says, I will reestablish you in the land that you have now left. How appropriate, therefore, that in response to the Shoah, that is the Holocaust, that Yad Vashem is a continual memorial. If you go to this museum, there are many pavilions, but at the heart of the museum is what is called the Hall of Names. Countless volumes in which the names of the dead who were killed in the Holocaust are remembered. To die without a place or a name is to lack something proper to what it means to be human. Not just for the human body, but the human soul. That is why we remember the dead. That is why we particularly remember our war dead, their bodies lost on the battlefields far away, never to be recovered. But we remember and we record their names on cenotaphs, memorial places, books of honor, and indeed in our parliament, in the center of the parliament buildings is the Peace Tower, where each day a page is turned in the great book of remembrance where the names of the fallen are recorded. To honor the names of those who have died is to remember them. And this is something fundamental to Catholic spirituality. As Roman Catholics, the funeral mass, the burial of the dead, the month of November, where we remember all the souls, and at most masses, each time we gather, we remember one of our beloved dead. To remember is for us as Catholics in anticipation of the resurrection, where God will literally remember us. And as I've been thinking about what I've shared so far, it's in part, I think, because of the importance of remembering that the discovery of the unmarked graves at schools run by the Catholic Church has led to such a visceral reaction. Although the actions of some who have vandalized churches shows a very dark side of this story, there is also, I think, something very positive in it as well. It is this, the recognition and the dignity of these children and the importance of remembering them. We couldn't have more appropriate readings than that passage from the Old Testament and the Gospel according to St. Mark. Ezekiel is actually in exile. He is in Babylon. He is in this context where they are trying to get their minds around what has just happened to them. It's around the year 580 BC. And if you listen again to the words, the translation that I have here is slightly different from the one that Stephen did, where in that translation, Ezekiel is referred to as son of man. Listen to the word that's used here. Mortal. I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. Now notice how Ezekiel is addressed. He is called mortal. What does this mean? Well, it means that he shares in the suffering of his people. He doesn't stand above them. He doesn't stand over them. He doesn't stand pointing the finger at them, condemning them. But he stands amongst them as one who is trying to make sense of what has happened to them in a way that will reorientate them, help them to remember who they are as the people of God. This people who are in exile are being invited to be reconciled so that one day, many decades in the future, they will be reestablished in the land of Israel. Now, notice that Ezekiel is cautioned that the people will not want to listen and learn from him. And we have the same thing at play in today's gospel. Jesus couldn't be closer to home. He's in Nazareth. He's with the people that he knows the most. And when he speaks, they take offense at him because they do not want to listen to what he is having to say. My beloved brothers and sisters, I want to suggest to us that the Lord is inviting us in these difficult days not to run from the pain of the unmarked graves, but to see this as an invitation to work towards an honoring of the names of the children and to bring about a deeper healing in our country. A healing enabled by honestly remembering our past so that we can work towards greater reconciliation between First Nations and those whose ancestry originated on other continents. A time like this is always difficult, but it's also a time of invitation. In that reading from 2 Corinthians, we come right to the end of this letter, and Paul discovers something. It's not in his strength, but that in his weakness, that God's grace is particularly available to him. It's as he joins himself more and more with Christ in his crucifixion that the power of God is at work in him. And may I suggest, through everything that the church has been going through now for a very long time, not only in relation to residential schools, but in relation to the sex abuse scandal and the other things that in a way humiliate us, this is an invitation. This is an opportunity to recognize we all stand together as mortals. In some way, we are all in Babylon. In some way, we are all in need of this invitation that Jesus calls us to. For what do we do at every Mass? At every Mass, we remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. On June the 1st, right after the revelation of the graves in Kamloops, Father Raymond D'Souza, who is a Catholic priest and also writes for the National Post, wrote an article in which he was reflecting on the discovery of the 215 unmarked graves at Kamloops. And at the end of his article, he wrote these words. To bury without recording or remembrance is another matter altogether. We speak of the disposal of remains, burial in earth, burial at sea, cremation, but it ought never be a mere disposal, the final casting aside of a throwaway culture. He goes on to write, efforts will now be made through the local coroner's office, the local indigenous leaders, to ensure identification where possible and a fitting burial, either on the grounds of the school or on the children's home territories. That is a painstaking and painful task, but even after many years have passed, fitting and necessary. Yad Vashem, represents a place of remembering in response to the horrors of the Shoah. Such an example can be a motivation for us as Canadians to further remember this part of our dark history so that we can cooperate with the Lord, who says to each child whose mortal remains are in an unmarked grave, "I will give you an everlasting name, which shall not be cut off."